welcome, welcome, welcome to Pace and Kylie Smith. You guys know that I have been big fans of your work since encountering you at the beginning of the year. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I am a big fan of yours too, Hildy. I love the Pollyanna principles.
Yes.
Oh, good, good. Well, we can do a review of that and just move on.
Okay.
Let's talk about my book. Forget your book.
There's more in common than you might think.
Oh, no, I know there is. I've read so much of your stuff, which is why I stand up in so many of the workshops and seminars that I do, and I hold up your book and I say, get this book, get this book. What I'd really like to start with is just this question of what is the usual error? I mean, if I'm going to avoid making this error, making this mistake, what is the usual error and what does it have to do with anything?
Well, the bad news is that you can't avoid it. But the good news is you can become aware of it. The usual error is assuming that you are just like everyone else. I think it's actually the reverse, that everyone else is just like you. That whoever you're talking to is going to have the same reactions and thoughts and feelings as you do to any given situation.
Yeah, it's actually the flaw in the golden rule, because the golden rule says do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But if I really love Italian dressing on my watermelon, and so I sprinkle Italian dressing on your watermelon because I'm just following the golden rule, you're probably going to say, ew, disgusting. So, you know, we would prefer the platinum rule, which is do unto others as they would have you do unto them. Now, of course, you can't know that. You can't read other people's minds. And so you can't help but make the usual error, because the only person that you know fully and completely is yourself. You're the only one who knows your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own reactions. And no matter how well you know someone, you'll always need to fill in the gaps with something, and that something is going to be your own experience.
Gotcha. And where the usual error comes in conversation is everywhere.
Oh, yes. Yes. Originally, we had a big list of different communication foibles and tricks, and it turned out that almost all of them were special cases of the usual error, which is why we ended up calling the book The Usual Error instead of here's a bunch of communication stuff.
You know, it's so funny when I'm teaching, and especially when I'm talking about values in organizations, and it's the point at which I always hold up your book and say, you know, the usual error is assuming that everyone at the table shares your values.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's also related to what Stephen Covey teaches in The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. He says, first seek to understand, then to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that's so important is because if you just start talking before listening, then there's a good chance you'll make the usual error. If you really listen to what's important to other people first, then you have a chance of seeing them for who they really are and what's really important to them instead of making the usual error. So even though you can't avoid it all the time, by practicing communication, especially listening skills, you can mitigate it and stop it from causing lots of damage in your communication.
Yeah. Can you give an example, guys, from the book of how that affects communication in an organization? I mean, so many of the people that are coming to my blog are working within community benefit organizations at some level. They could be a board member, an executive director, a staff person. Can you give one of the examples of the, because you've got wonderful strategies in the book of ways of thinking about things. Can you give an example of how that can affect what goes on in an organization and what people can do to do things differently?
Sure. There's an example. I can just read you this. Will you be Dawn, Kylie?
I will be Dawn.
So that I can be Pace, because I am Pace.
Yes.
So this is a story. This is based on a true story here.
It's right out of the book.
Yeah. One day at work, my coworker Dawn came to my office to ask me for help.
Hi, Pace. We need you to drop everything you're doing and make changes to widget A.
Hold on a sec. What problem are you trying to solve?
Well, we need widget A to do deduction.
Why do you need widget A in particular?
Well, I guess any widget would do, actually.
Could you use widget B instead? it already exists and it does deduction and more.
That's great. We'll use widget B instead. Thanks.
Yeah, that was a great Dawn impression there, Kelly.
My apologies to Dawn.
So in this example, Dawn made the usual error by assuming that the implementation was the same as the problem statement. So
can you say that less geeky?
Yes, less geeky. Dawn assumed that he knew how to solve the problem. Because
right, he came in and said, hey, I need you to make a widget to fix this problem that I'm having.
Right.
I know how to solve it.
Right. And in that example, I had information that Dawn didn't have, and I knew about something that already existed that solved Dawn's problem and more. And, you know, I didn't have to actually do the work to create it. So from Dawn's worldview, there's a lack. I need something to fill this gap. I need something to solve this problem. What would I do to solve this problem? I would make widget A. And then Dawn comes to me and says, Pace, make me widget A. Instead of saying, hey, here is this problem. Let's work together to solve it. Or, you know, tell me what you know about existing solutions. He comes to me with a pre-presented solution. And that solution is based on the usual error.
So in the example that you just gave us, then Dawn was coming in and saying, here's what we're going to do. And in that example, you would have either thought to yourself, well, that's really dumb, and said nothing and just gone about and done it and then griped about it all day long, or immediately confronted Dawn with, well, why would we do that? Or what are you thinking? Or that's really stupid. But it would not have gone. You did something to make that not happen. Share what you did.
What I did was asked Dawn, what problem are you trying to solve? So I rephrased things in terms that Dawn would care about. I didn't say, well, that would suck for me because I would have unwasted work. I rephrased it into, well, let me listen to you and hear what problem you're trying to solve. And then I can try to help you. We can work together.
It seemed so seamless, but you see so many of those arguments, or not arguments, where we just quietly grumble, that could so easily be avoided. And just as you guys so artfully showed, Dawn doesn't walk away feeling bad. Dawn walks away feeling good, too.
Right. Yeah, he got what he wanted even faster than he expected to get it. And from the organization's perspective, it was much better because no effort and time was wasted.
Exactly.
Good communication can really help organizations run much more efficiently.
The book is broken into 5 parts, starting with communication dynamics and going into boundaries, which are critically important, and then 2 of the sections that I just spent oodles of time on, one which was turning conflict into communication, which is just brilliant, and then conflict resolution, which we're all in all the time. Life is being with other people who, as you so point out, aren't thinking what I'm thinking.
Right.
And wouldn't it be boring if they were?
Yeah, it really would be. And so the whole last section on positivity probably leads very well into the next project that you guys have been working on, which is the Freak Revolution. So if you can share a little bit about how the Freak Revolution, did it come out of the usual error? How does it connect with the usual error?
The usual error is an important part of the Freak Revolution. The Freak Revolution is about changing the world, and it's not going to be the normal people who are going to change the world, because the normal people are happy with the status quo. They're fine with the way things are. It's going to be the people on the edges, the nonconformists, the freaks, just freaks of any flavor. And so we, being freaks ourselves, started the Freak Revolution as a way to make this kind of change. It's a way to change the world by connecting with other people, by spreading revolutionary ideas, and by helping people reach their own fullest potential. You know, connect with yourself, connect with others, and then connect with the infinite. And so we're trying to create a world full of more connection, and you can't have really deep connection without really good communication.
Right. If we're misunderstanding each other all the time, then we're not connecting. And so one of the building blocks of good connection is learning how to effectively communicate, both in an outgoing sense of me communicating my ideas to you, and in an incoming sense of me being able to understand you.
And in a third sense of being able to communicate with yourself.
Right.
Because if
knowing what you want, right, and knowing where your boundaries are.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the most fascinating things about communication. It seems like on the surface, it's such an external thing. It involves interpersonal relationships, dealing with other people. But so much of it ends up being about internal communication. What do I really want? Why am I arguing here? Why am I feeling defensive? What am I trying to get out of this? And that's where I find the really interesting stuff lies.
One of the things that I love, even just on the cover of The Usual Error, going back to that, is that you really point out that we're always having two dialogues at the same time. At the same time as we're talking to others, we're talking internally to ourselves. We've got that internal dialogue going on. So in the Freak Revolution, in the whole thought that the only way we reach our potential as a world is if we reach our potential internally with our own dialogue,
mm-hmm,
it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. The external is a reflection of the internal.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the terrific stuff that you're doing in the Freak Revolution, and looking at disconnecting from the control paradigm. Can you talk about that for a second?
Oh, yes. So a paradigm is, well, you talk about it in the Pollyanna Principles a lot. It's the pervasive set of assumptions that a culture holds. And it's really hard to see them because they're pervasive, and they're the kind of things that where you walk up to someone and then you say, hey, does it seem like the best way to go about things is to make them come out the way you want? Well, yeah, that's what you do in life. You make things come out the way you want. But there's this pervasive assumption of control. And the control paradigm is completely dominating the world that civilized people live in today. And it manifests in all sorts of ways. News and the media tries to tell you what to think. Public schools teach you to conform and obey. Typical corporate hierarchies are all about control. And we pick this up in lots of other ways. The stereotypical monogamous relationship is largely rooted in control. Now, it doesn't have to be. But the stereotypical one certainly is. And it's just prevalent in so many areas of our life that part of what we're trying to do with the Freak Revolution is show people that you have a choice, that you don't have to live your life the way everyone else is living their lives or the way that you're told. You can opt out of all these systems. You know, we don't watch the news. We don't even watch TV. We homeschool. We actually unschool our son, who just turned 12.
Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday. And, you know, so he hasn't ever been to a public school. And let me tell you, the freedom and healthy interaction with adults rather than cowing to authority and creativity of homeschooled and unschooled kids is ridiculously high compared to the average public schooled kids, because it's not beaten out of them. And that's just one example of all these different systems that are prevalent in our culture today. And it's the same sort of systems that many community benefit organizations are working to change.
Yeah, and it's probably one of the reasons I identify with the work that you guys are doing so much is the work that we're doing is trying to change, as you mentioned, those paradigms, those things that we don't even see because we are so used to those systems that control the way community benefit is sought and is clearly also not working.
Right.
Right.
Right. It's like a pyramid, and at the base of it you have individuals, and then you have up a little higher, you have communities, and then above that, you have systems, and at the very top, you have the paradigm. So the paradigm kind of rains down on everything, but it bottoms out in individuals. And we're working on things at the individual level, and you're working on things at the community and the system level. But we're all trying to shift the paradigm.
And there's so many places that people can plug in and really explore, which is what's really, really, really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any last words that you would like to share with our readers who are, as I mentioned, primarily leaders of community benefit organizations? Is there anything that they can be doing to participate, to be thinking differently? Any last words you'd like to share with them?
I would just like to remind people that the world would be ridiculously dull if everyone were the same. And just imagine how boring that world would be, and maybe that will help you to listen a little more fully or put yourself in someone else's shoes just a little more the next time you have a conflict. Because conflict exists because people are different. So I guess my parting thought is appreciate rather than get annoyed at the differences between people.
Yeah, that's an excellent parting thought.
Oh, it's just got me smiling. So thank you both, Pace and Kylie Smith, for sharing with us today. And I'll look forward to our next conversation.
Yes, we do too.
Yeah, thank you, Hildy. It was a lot of fun.